What's up, Writing Better? It's me, your host, Timmy Bauer, and today I have a very special guest. He is a copywriter by trade, but he also is breaking into ghostwriting. And I thought it would be cool to do an episode. He's a very experienced copywriter. He's done many different projects for many different clients. And the thing that copywriters do so well is they are able to write in a action-driven, like driving readers to an action. And I thought it would be cool in this episode to explore what is the skill of copywriting, why is it good at that, and how can ghostwriters try to incorporate some of that into their books. But before we get into all of that, my guest today, Gabriel Rivera. Gabe, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Sure, no problem, Timmy. Great. I'm just glad to be here with you today.
Awesome. So, Gabe, can you just tell me a little bit about how you got started in copywriting? What's been your career like as a copywriter?
Sure. I've been doing this for over 15 years, and one of my marketing mentors, her name was Chris Marlowe. She, God bless her soul, she just passed away a couple of years ago. I never had really. I have heard about had heard about copywriting. I didn't know as far as how to get started. She reached out, we reached out together, and I had a combination of I had a lot of newspaper journalism experience. I was also a sports coach, a fitness coach, a personal trainer. So that, we put all that together, and I was a always been interested in health and fitness and sports and all that, and I always been into the writing field, right? As you know, I was a journalist. And so we put all that together, and that would ended up being my niche. So I've been doing this for about 15 years, and they said in the beginning I did not know how to go about copywriting. I thought it was just write words and and just write basic content or basic factual information, kind of like journalists, you do your interviews and you go back to it and then you write your story,
Yeah.
right? And then it's more about selling. And the action you do in as far as writing and as far as copywriting. So she taught me that, and we did this did a course with her. Actually, a few courses with her for about a couple years with her, and she was my mentor, and so that's how I got into it, and from
What are
there it
some of
just
the
kind of just took
clients that
off.
you've
And
worked with that you could share? As a copywriter, or sorry, yeah, as a copywriter.
Yeah, I worked with Weider Nutrition. I've worked with Alsier's MD. I've worked with let's see, Beast Nutrition. I've worked with big companies such as Ivate as well, Biotics Research Corporation, Nutrisystem. So those are the kind of companies I've been working with in the past. So
What's your overall philosophy when it comes to driving readers towards an action? Like, what have you learned? There's the dog barking that you talked about. Gabe's dogs are gonna go crazy in the background, hopefully not too much. Gabe, what's your philosophy when it comes to the how to drive readers towards an action? What have you learned in your courses that you've taken as a copywriter? What have you learned through practical experience when it comes to getting readers to take an action that you want them to take?
You want to the final one is to really take a call to action, as you just mentioned. You want to really focus and hone in on the benefits and what is it for them? What are they trying to solve? What is the number one pain they're trying to solve? What is their driving force for their product, right? And it's all about them, not about you. And that's really the key element in writing copy. That's kind of the things that I learned. And you're writing, it's all about them. And you want to really, really hone in on that. And I'll mention that. But really, and something that really, same thing with ghostwriting, you're trying to have an end product, right? You're trying to sell, a call to action. What is it about this book that drives your client? What is it
Well,
about them? It's about them, right?
this is why I wanted to a ask you this question, why I wanted to bring you on,
Sorry. Oh,
because
sorry about that.
so many clients of ghostwriters, what they're doing is, so you've got generally like they fall into like two different camps in the nonfiction space. You've got people that
Right.
want a ghostwriter to help them write a memoir, and that's one
Right.
beast. And then you've got people that want a ghostwriter to help them write prescriptive nonfiction that will help establish their thought leadership and drive their audience to take an action, like, becoming a client of theirs or something similar to that.
Right.
And what I find interesting is so many clients of ghostwriters, so many thought leaders having their books written, they put so much resources into building a book that will help, get their thought leadership on a particular topic out there. But what they're trying to do is build like a high-end piece of marketing material. But unfortunately, so many of the ghostwriters that I talk to, they don't know how to, well, I don't know if it's they don't know how to, or it's just not a priority. But I think that there could be a better job generally being done to drive readers towards an action. And yeah, so that's why I wanted to bring you on here, because I'm curious if you have any thoughts around, like, if you were to take on a ghostwriting client, there's mainly a couple different actions that you want them to take other than to just apply the information in the book. So you want them to apply the information in the book, but you also want them to share the book, review the book, go down the funnel. If the book is top of funnel content, you want them to go down the funnel. So how would you think about that if you were working with a ghostwriting client?
Sure. And it depends. I feel that it depends, what route the author would want to go. Are they, for instance, they want to self-publish, traditional publish, right?
They want to self-publish. In this example, let's say they want to self-publish and they're trying to publish a book that has like that is going to be very shareable.
Oh, sorry. What was that to me? I didn't hear that last.
They're going to publish a book. Yeah. So they're going to publish a book that's meant to be very shareable, very focused on getting people to share it and getting people to move down their funnel. Because like that's one of the biggest reasons why people spend thousands and thousands of dollars producing a book is it's not only just they have thought leadership on a topic, but it's like the people that would consume that book, generally speaking, would also make great clients.
Right. So an example, so give me an example, Timmy. You're trying to say, for instance, I guess pick an occupation you want to.
Yeah. So like, for example, let's say I wrote a book, right? If I were to write a book on how to market a book or how to write a book or something along those lines, right? Where I'm sharing my thoughts on how to successfully write a book, how to have a successful career as an author. The exact people, not always, but a lot of the people who would buy that book would also make great clients of Dinosaur House or Stonecrest, either of my two companies. Now it's not like I'm trying to turn every single book purchaser into a client, but what I do want to do is I want to turn every book purchaser into a fan of the book, someone who'll share the book, review the book. And then I want to turn a portion of them, a percentage of them, into clients. And I think anyone who's not thinking about this, I don't know, that then they would just have very different goals than I would have making a book.
Right. Like, for instance, if say you had, I was writing, I mean, say there was an author, they say there's a realtor who wanted, promote his brand and, as far as getting a book out there, you would want to know for instance.
Let's say that they're writing a book on house buying, right? So it's a realtor writing a book on house buying, right? They want the book itself to do well as a piece of brand, as a brand asset. So, but they also know that a portion of those readers, they want to turn into clients.
Exactly. So for instance, you have a, if you were to have a book in, say, the Smoky Mountains or, say, yeah, just say an area, say a Smoky Mountains area, you would want to, talk about how Okay, what's important? What's so important about the Smoky Mountains? What's, you know, talk, what is, how do you get your lease, your license and all that kind of stuff? How would you, what is the best area to buy in that area as you're writing it, right? What are all the benefits of living there, right? Also, you know, if you wanted to, so in saying that, you're learning how to invest in that area as well. But at the same time, maybe you want to go on a vacation home out there, right? So at that same time, it gives you a state, you know, a starting point or reference within that area, right? So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone, right?
So I
So
guess my question is, how would you approach the challenge of how can I write in such a way that readers are going to be motivated to take the action of that are reader hold on 1 second, Gabe. Okay, recollecting my thoughts here.
no worries.
So the thing that I'm trying to get at is, how would you, as a copywriter taking on a ghostwriting client, write differently than maybe a ghostwriting client who doesn't have a background in copywriting would write, for the purpose of those two major calls to action that anyone who authors a prescriptive nonfiction book probably has, which is you're trying to optimize for shareability and it getting people to take the action of sharing the book, leaving a review for the book, and trying to optimize the action of getting that person to move further down the funnel. And you shared with me this like framework that you write from when it comes to copywriting. I don't know if you could share that and then talk about how you'd approach that.
Right. So we talked about benefits sell, features tell. Right.
Yeah,
So in
benefits
saying
sell,
that,
features tell.
right. So in saying that, you want to, as you know, so for example, you're a writing book about your realtor, right? You know, you want to write a book about being in a location such as Smoky Mountain, which is an example. You would want to write about, I mean, there's so many features you can go over, right? Just our features are just kind of like just some facts about a certain cabin or a certain location. If you want to really have that selling point and have bring in your readers slash people that want to be there and having a client, you need to talk about the benefits, right? You're in the Smoky Mountains, it's a beautiful scenery out there. What are the benefits of the cost of living there compared to, say, for instance, Los Angeles or New York, probably going to be cheaper there, right? As far as that's concerned. So things like that and some of the amenities they offer that, you know, maybe the other places offer. So you have to bring in those benefits as you're writing the book in that regard.
And you think if a realtor was writing a book like that, it would drive the action of getting a percentage of readers to want to hire them as a and become a
Yeah, because
client?
you can't just write. Yes, because you can't just write about facts and factual information about, you know, the Smoky Mountains. That'd be kind of, you know, dull and boring, right? If you bring the creativity of why it's so important, and as far as bringing those benefits, you're gonna have a really creative story of just being, you know, having that imaginative, you know, style where you bring in the benefits, right? I mean. So,
I saw Alex Hormozi do something interesting with one of his books. So I don't know if you've heard of Alex Hormozi. It's okay if you haven't. He's kind of like a rising star celebrity in the business world. But he did an interesting thing with his book $100 Million Offers, and I assume he probably did it with his book $100 Million Leads, where around the chapter three mark, he had a 2-page two pages of the book that were just focused on getting readers to go leave a review on Amazon. And I thought that was really cool because it optimizes for, you know, getting readers to become advocates of the book. I'm curious for
right.
you as a copywriter, and I know I'm just asking you to shoot from the hip here, but I'm curious for you as a copywriter how you would approach something like that.
As far as the reviews,
Like,
what do
no,
you mean?
how would you approach writing those 2 pages if you were going to do that for a client?
2 pages of like
Your
kind of
goal is to
rundown
get
of.
the reader to go leave a review and share the book.
Okay. Oh, I see.
And I know I'm asking you to shoot from the hip, but I figure with all your copywriting experience, you could
Right.
probably riff here.
Right. So goal of leaving a, positive,
Yep.
thought
They've
on the
read
book.
one or two chapters of the book so far, and now the book is asking them to go leave a review and share the book. How would you
Okay.
approach, if you've got a client that wants you to do that, how would you approach writing it?
Okay. So yeah, I would, I know I went back to this, but what is the main thing that, of course we'll talk about the benefits, right? What I mean, I would kind of approach it as stylistically,
So
what
you
stood out
would you go
the
after, oh yeah, sorry, go ahead. I was thinking, would you go after the benefit, talking about the benefits the reader has gotten so far out of the book?
For instance, there's always going to be, top three, top five, but there's always something that really, really sticks out, and that's what you call the big idea, right? That's kind of what we call it, the big idea, which relates to the big benefit, kind of similar. And so what is really the biggest thing you that's really, really stood out when you write this review? There's so many things, but if somebody is reading a book, there's and even when you're watching a movie, right, you something sticks out from the movie or from the book that really catches your attention. And what do? You go to the you start talking to your, hey, did you see what this would happen? I watched the movie and this is what happened. Well, so what is the main thing that happened? And you let them know this is really, because whenever you review a book or a movie, you always bring up that one thing that comes up, and or the main big benefit. So I would kind of that's kind of the style that I would use, is the big benefit when you're reviewing, and that is usually what comes out. Usually what comes out.
Yeah. What about like do you think is there any art to the actual ask, like the actual like, hey, go leave a review, like I don't know, is there any
Oh,
art
I see
to
what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. There's always so many. They're what they call power words. You can probably go online or find these. They call these words power words, right?
Okay.
So for instance, discover is a power word, or powerful, or buy now, influential, risk-free. So we use these type of power. So using these power words that sticks, that also comes to mind is something that you want to, but it's always when you're writing also, it's always a creative sense of urgency. So when you're thinking about these power words, you want to really bring out the urgency words that come with it, right?
Okay.
Act now, risk-free, buy this and you'll receive this, right? So these are always, it's always going to benefit the reader or whoever wants to buy, or a consumer prospect wanting to buy in regards to copywriting. That's kind of how you view that. So
Yeah. I just think it's something that more writers should think about because every person who writes a book, who's not already a known person, they want to write a book that people are going to share. And I mean, and
right.
I think a lot of ghostwriters are not very sales oriented. And so they're probably afraid. What say that? So what were you going to say?
I'm gonna like totally agree with that. So I just want to
Yeah.
bring that up.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Yeah. Why? What made you agree with that?
well, I've seen both worlds, man. I was in the journalistic world, so I've written newspapers,
Yeah.
and I've also been in the book world, and as far as copywriting and book writing, because, people in the ghostwriting, they're more into the, how do I say that? They're more into the educational writing, the
Yes, that's
proper
right. That's right. That's their
grammar,
expertise.
punctuation,
Yep.
and copywriting is not as formal as that, right? And then it's you have to really study, research much more, and really solve problems. That's really what you do when you're writing copywriting, you're solving problems. So it just takes a lot to that. And when it comes to ghostwriting, it's make sure you have the proper grammar, the punctuation, And it's all about writing, right? Not selling. It's about writing appropriately. Sorry, go ahead, Timmy.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think a lot of ghostwriters are not very sales oriented. And so they might be squeamish about the idea of putting like a call to action, like smack
Right.
between chapter two and chapter three. But I've seen it done in a way that actually leads to boosting the virality of a book. And so I think it's worth considering. And I also just think that there are all kinds of action oriented writing that needs to be done even in the periphery of a book. Like if you think about what goes on the back of the book, right? You're trying, you could just give a bunch of information about the author, you could
Right.
just give a bunch of information about the book, but you're really trying to drive the action. Like if someone is reading the back of a book, you're trying to drive the action of either, hey, read this book, or hey, buy this book. And
Right.
and that is a that it takes a an element of sales orientedness to think through how to write that kind of copy.
Very good point, Timmy. I totally agree with that. And it doesn't have to, I know you're talking about reviews and you're talking about,
Yeah.
talking about selling points and benefits and all that, but it does not, in saying that, I'm talking about urgency words and call to action words and power words, but it doesn't have to be over the top, right? You don't want to
Yeah.
oversell with some of the writing. Be sincere, be honest, but at the same time, but think of those words that readers, whether that be clients or, whatever that may be, what's going to be the sticking point? That's going to be it. What's
Yeah,
going to be the
I
sticking
think
point,
talking about pain is huge, like you said in the beginning. Like, especially if you think about the back of a book, right? You want to talk about the pain that someone would be feeling that would motivate them to open the book and start reading it. Like, we're talking about prescriptive nonfiction. Like, maybe they live in a really crappy, to use our example from earlier, maybe they live in a really crappy area and it would be a dream to live in the Smoky Mountains.
And in copywriting, it talks about, we talk about, we study emotional, people buy for emotional reasons. And, whether that's, greed, vanity, all these are all we call emotional triggers that we talk about in copywriting. And you can apply this for the same thing with ghostwriting, right? What are some emotional triggers that people are going to want to buy the book, read the book? So
Take
that
the
kind of
action
goes.
from the book, move down the funnel
Exactly. So
in the
you got to
book.
think about these. Yeah, exactly. So what are these emotional triggers? Bring that into the ghostwriting and see how that plays out, because that's very, very important to me. You brought up a very, very great point.
It's great, Gabe. Is there anything else that you would want listeners of this episode to get when it comes to how a ghostwriter would approach, or how a copywriter by trade would approach ghostwriting?
I feel like I wrapped up pretty much everything.
Where can listeners go to engage with you more? Like, where are you most active online?
Yeah, you can. I know I have a couple of sites. One of them is GabeWriting.com. And my ghostwriting site is pretty simple as well, GabeGhostwriting.com. You guys can look for me there if you guys are
Awesome.
looking for a ghost.
Great.
Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
Appreciate it. No, I was
Yeah.
just saying, great. It's super good talking to you. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show, Gabe.
Yes, no problem, Timmy. And you do a great job of just keeping everybody informed about what's going on in the published world, whether that's, with books, anything like that. Tim is your guy, man. He does a great job of really keeping everything afloat and up to date with everything. So I really appreciate you and giving me this time to talk about this.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.